Hi, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
There you go.
That's what happens when you're trying to get rid of the rust and you forget about the lady saying Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Among the Realms here at the Trinity Metaphysical Center in Hamburg, New Jersey, Route 23 South. Yeah, one of these years I'll get it right. I don't know. Welcome, one and all. And Mark is has a funeral to attend to, so we wish him well. He'll be back next week. And how is everyone else doing here this evening?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, you mentioned the Yankees before.
Hey.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. You can say ah. Yeah. I mean, you're
Did
a
you
douche.
Like
yeah, that's it. That's all. Hey, from you, I take that.
I didn't do that.
Okay.
I felt Mark's spirit was all over me.
Mark would
then,
never call.
You?
No.
What would he call you?
Not that. Not that. But you, when you call me douche,
I didn't mean it.
Love and passion and respect. It's so much better. It just pressed me up for the Ranger fans I got to deal with, too. Anyway, so.
That's true. Yep. So,
beautiful. Oh,
devil.
God. Can we just leave now? Oh. This show shot this shit already. Good God, the devils. Oh, anyway. Oh, man.
Animals.
Speaking of creepy paranormal evidence.
Satan was under TV.
Oh, man. We do have a very interesting show this evening. You all right?
I'm fixing my mic.
Anyway.
It's too high.
Come on, someone else say it. Never mind.
Go ahead.
Anyway. We got creepy paranormal evidence from near and far. I know. Welcome to the month of October, everyone. This is where we normally do our paranormal themed month, where we go over different kinds of scary stuff that either we have collected or we found from other websites, from other paranormal groups. And, you know, what happens when we actually, you know, type in the word ghost on Google. And what we try to do here, at least throughout this month, a very big education on the paranormal. And we will be talking about some of the, I believe, some of the paranormal experiences that we have during our ghost investigations, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, they actually asked. We had listeners ask if, when we have the real bad ones, if other people would account what they experienced, because I don't know.
Oh, so also
moment.
Doing personal experiences as well, well not just EVPs or...
Yeah, remember, because we had a few listeners, because they've heard us talk about, like, when we have a bad one, and they've heard, like, what happens to me, but I don't know what reaction, what's going on that moment for how you, what you guys are feeling or what you guys see, so I don't have an answer for that, because they want to know, like, when you're watching it or when you're in it and experiencing it, what are you feeling? What do you see happen? Because I don't,
right.
I have no memory from right before to right after.
What's that?
Come on, someone else help me out. You're looking at me. You know it. Oh, come on.
My mouth's full.
Oh.
Good answer.
Well, basically, Jackie's sitting in the pitch dark, and she doesn't see. If we're sitting in front of the camera, we can see what's going on, and she can't see. You know, and so it's like from that, the benefit of that point of view, it's because we're photographing her. So, you know, she there's a little bit of light from the bleed out from
That's
some of the
really
cameras.
Not really pitch dark.
Really pitch dark.
It's not yet.
Yeah, but, that would be nice if it was, but it's not.
Yeah. But it's still pretty dark, you know, except the bleed out from the cameras.
Cool.
But if you're looking through the lens itself, you're definitely seeing straight up what's going on.
So we'll be telling people from our perspective,
yeah.
not just yours. Okay,
oh,
cool.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
That's fine.
I want to hear it too, because I don't know.
That's true. Very cool. So,
hey, but before we start,
yeah,
can we just put out a, you know, heartfelt?
You read my mind. Go right ahead. Take
Vegas.
It.
Just that, you know, I woke up the other morning and you see stuff on TV. And, you know, now I think this is 58 people, 59 with mm-hmm. the guy that was doing the shooting. But 58 innocent people just going to concert, just all... they're here 1 minute, they're gone the next. And, you know, I'm one of these people that, again, I don't believe gun control. They're, you know, going to help. I think that maybe anybody who has a gun license or a license to buy or whatever, I don't know, every state's different, but maybe they should have a psychiatric exam every year or two or something just to make sure that they're still all there, because this guy had to be disturbed. He had to be disturbed for what he did. And I just feel so bad for the people in Vegas.
From a metaphysical standpoint, because we have covered something like, you know, a travesty like this on previous shows, what can we tell our listeners to give a little more comfort after going, after witnessing something like this?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to
only
tell.
the only thing that if it was me that was experiencing it, I would find comfort in knowing that I know that they're being taken care of when they've crossed over, you know, and that they're in a good place, a place that doesn't have any of that in it, you know, so that their loved ones, you know, are at peace, you know, and they're not in a bad place.
But not everybody goes across right away, and especially in something like this, I would think a lot of people would still be a little bit confused. It might take a little bit of time.
Well, a lot of people are, even when they, you know, die a regular,
right,
normal death, you know.
Right.
I mean, everybody's different, but they'll end up in a place for a place of comfort, yeah.
Right.
Well, you know what? It's just the and over. I've got a friend of mine who lives in Vegas out there, and I was talking to her here and there, texting, and she's usually pretty funny. She's very animated, and she's got a lot of jokes she's always telling. She says, I think I want my funny. I just, there's nothing anybody can say to me to make me really laugh. Or she says, I'm in such a low spot right now. And I said, well, it's just going to take time, because for something like that, I mean, and they said that the police and the FBI and everybody worked so well together and got things done. And people were actually, when they saw the people running from the place and some people were injured, they were actually pulling them into their cars and trucks and whatever and taking them straight to the hospital. They weren't waiting for the end. They were taking them because they needed help immediately. And I mean, that's the type of thing you want to hear, is that people actually stepped up. They just didn't wait for the ambulances and the police and everybody else to come and start helping, which they did, obviously. But it's just what a horrendous thing to happen for no reason, nothing, no reason. They had no idea why this guy did it.
Anyway,
I thought
their family and everybody out there. My nephew works in Las Vegas.
Does he really? Wow.
Yes, our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims and their families over in Vegas. So we're going to move on.
Yep.
Are we still doing? I've been late the last couple of shows. It's my own fault.
We do the
Good and Plenty, or is it Good and Welfare, that extra long?
Yeah, we've been doing the trivia question instead.
Okay. And the trivia question is, what is our guilty pleasure in terms of food
or drink?
Or drink. Wow.
Only pick one.
Oh, you can't pick food and
drink? You can't pick,
you could.
Yeah, seriously, I'm
okay,
with you on
pick,
that.
Pick
yeah.
one food and one drink. It doesn't have to be liquor.
So
pick,
no, it
pick
doesn't
a food and a
liquor.
Drink that you like.
Guilty pleasure. I have to say mozzarella sticks. Mozzarella sticks.
What do
Not
you like
bad.
To drink?
Mozzarella sticks and a drink. Chocolate milk.
Mm.
Can't help it.
Dana.
Next.
Remember, nothing sexual.
Yeah. You know what?
It's going to be a while, people.
Oh, okay, you can say anything you want. It's okay.
You can put it on the
food, make, Dana. I make my own candies using coconut oil.
What shapes are they?
That I make in a little tiny ice cube tray. So they're like little, you know,
cool.
things like that.
Awesome.
And it's like I mix up this batch of cocoa powder, unsweetened cocoa powder, with coconut oil and cinnamon and a little bit of stevia powder. And I put it in this ice cube tray and I freeze it. And that's, boy.
Sounds good.
It's really good. That's my guilty pleasure.
Favorite drink? It's got to be a wine to go along with that dark chocolate.
Oh, vodka.
Oh, take that, Paul. Wow. Step
Gee,
right up.
Nothing like coffee or something like that.
Yeah. Well, no, well, I do that. But, you know, but I've sort of been off the alcohol for the last couple of months. But when I'm doing it, that's my favorite.
Very cool. Charlie, guilty pleasures.
I tell you what, if I have what I consider the best sausage and pepper sandwich, I am in heaven. I mean, just piled with peppers and onions and sauce and a really good sausage. To me, that's, to eating wise, it's the, I'm salivating here.
He's dripping all over the microphone.
Yeah, right? So sausage and pepper sandwich. That's got to be a good one, though. And to drink, my standard is scotch.
Oh, I should have known that.
Yeah, Johnny Walker
Blue. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. I like it. Sometimes too much.
Fair enough.
You know, you get together with friends, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know,
just a little.
What kind of scotch was that? So,
what, no Jägermeister?
No. Oh, God, I wouldn't use that to, you know, clean toenails with. That. Oh, God.
Although it's just my fun.
I'm sure Mark has.
Hey, you listening. Virgil, guilty pleasure.
Chocolate shake and anything venison.
Oh, good man. I actually got a thing of venison from my cousin who just went bow hunting before, so I got to make that up tonight.
Steaks.
Yep.
Get some onions.
Yep. Steak, onions, broccoli, and a couple of other things mixed in, too.
Worcestershire sauce.
Yes.
Butter.
Stop. We're good. Beautiful.
Rodney.
Guilty pleasure.
I don't know why I love fast food so much.
You?
Oh, yeah. I don't need a break. I don't need a
you,
that's why you work out so much.
I was going to say, you're in great shape. I should have said fast food. People would believe that when they saw me.
All right. I got to put you on the spot. We talking Taco Bell, McDonald's, Burger King?
Burger King's got to be one of my favorite. Attaboy.
Those burgers are great when they're fresh.
Those.
Have it your way. Extra onions.
The two meals for $10?
That's been a lot of
two meals? Five for six.
That's four meals for $40.
It's all right. So, and favorite drink?
I'm a Jameson person.
Jameson.
Attaboy.
Attaboy.
I got a story to tell you afterwards about Jameson.
I'm sure you'll come up with a couple of stories.
No. When my dad was in the war, so I'll tell you.
All right.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Very cool. Jackie? Guilty pleasure.
Lollipops. My drink? Yes, lollipops. Drink. Well, if it's not liquor, because everybody knows I like the Riesling, but my guilty pleasure is a McDonald's mocha frappe.
Okay.
And cheesecake.
Oh, yeah.
I don't eat it that much, but when I can get a really good
birthday.
Piece, it's really good.
Birthday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yep. Very cool. Nice. Guilty pleasures are done. Thank God. I'm tired of thinking about food already. So, all right. Let's get into this realm. Creepy paranormal evidence. Do we want to go with the basics, like what's the difference between a ghost and a spirit, or do we want to jump into...
Yeah, whatever you...
Yeah, let's start off for all
different
of the...
Different types?
Yeah.
Because when we listen to the evidence, there is a difference.
Go ahead.
I mean,
yeah.
Ghost and spirit, go for it. What's the difference?
Well, we say the difference, everybody's different, but we
right.
say a ghost is something that has not crossed, you know, that they're more earthbound, where a spirit is somebody who is actually... passed away, crossed over, and is able to come back and forth, you know, on their own.
Is that how we think of it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Well, you took a class a long time ago. So.
I'm glad you cleared that up for me because, you know.
And usually when we get EVPs, when we're on an investigation, they're usually earthbound spirits, unless we happen to pick up a residual haunt or something like that. A lot of them are earthbound, and that's why they're able to, you know, that's why sometimes we have them negative experiences or more violent experiences. Sometimes they're really desperate to talk to us. So a lot of the EVPs you listen to tonight are from that type of spirit.
Very cool. And a spirit basically is someone or a ghost that has crossed over?
Mm-hmm. Like a loved one.
Okay.
I mean, we tend to interchange those terms when we're talking about them. So.
Cool. So when we do... the ghost hunting, you specifically as a psychic medium, do you get ghosts and spirits, or do you just primarily get the ghosts that we're supposed to be hunting?
Both.
Okay.
Sometimes a spirit comes in with somebody, or like we've done investigations where we've gone up to a place and the loved ones that actually lived there, some of their spirits were, you know, with the, because they actually were there in another room. And then, but then there were also spirits from the property in the house too. So it's, they're different for me. It's a, they're a different feel. The energy of a spirit is different from the energy from a, you know, from someone who's earthbound.
Okay. So let's, and before we get into any further with the ghosts and the spirits here, let's describe the eCrypt team real quick. We are, for the most part, a sensitive group, and we're not meaning like emotional baggage type sensitive.
That too,
depending on the night, who knows? Can you describe to our listeners what sensitive actually means when it comes to this group, when it comes to, and ghost hunting?
Mm-hmm. We're actually every single person in our group is sensitive, and that means that they're more sensitive to the spirits or energy that are around. Some of them are more empathic, or they can pick up, you know, the actual energy from a spirit or what they were feeling when they were here. So, and some of them can see the orb. Some can just tune in feeling if an area feels really heavy or if it feels super cold, you know, all that type of thing. And I don't think there's anyone, there isn't, we don't have one member that isn't. So,
excuse me. So let's say, can I use this weekend as an example?
Of course.
Okay. We do have a ghost hunt coming up on Saturday. I'm double checking here. On Saturday, I'm going to ask this for the entire panel. I know Jackie has said before that she normally gets some kind of message, or the spirits actually show up at the shop before we actually mm-hmm. do a ghost hunt. Can you describe that real quick?
For this one coming up, or in general,
because this normally happens not just for this upcoming
every
week,
time.
But it's every time.
Yeah,
right, go ahead.
Every time. Usually once we have something scheduled and I tune into it, I'll either have at some point, usually it's a couple days before, any particular spirits that I've tuned into, that if it's something really tough, they usually don't want us there. So they'll come and let me know that they don't want coming there, and that they don't want us coming to talk to them or take pictures of them and all of that. Sometimes they come because they do want us to come because they want to talk to us. So it's all different. A lot of times I'll get information on what's going on in the area, like what actually went on or what's happened. And this one, I already did that. So it's interesting.
Okay.
So there's a lot there.
Okay.
A lot of different stuff.
Dana, do you feel any different as we approach a ghost hunt? Oops.
No.
You don't get any feeling or anything?
I don't get forewarnings. No.
Okay.
Is that what
well, not
saying?
Even a forewarning. So you start to get like a bad feeling about it, or do you get this sudden urge of nervousness?
I don't get nervous.
Okay.
I've never been frightened or nervous at one of these things, but I have gotten a bad feeling about something.
Okay. Does it happen a couple of days before, or is it like a couple of hours right before the investigation?
Like a day before.
Okay. Charlie, how about you?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
I'm usually, you know, when we know that we're going on an investigation or we're going to be doing something, obviously you have some sort of anticipation.
Right.
But as far as feeling anything or getting any premonition that something's going to happen or no, actually, when I walk in, it's pretty much just, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, the
we'll get into that
get,
in a minute. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Virgil, how about you? Anything pre-gaming?
I just sit home waiting to go.
Okay.
All ready to go.
So sometimes with me, my sleeping patterns will get messed up at night for whatever reason. I'll say this right now. It's very difficult to wake me up in the middle of the night. Like an atomic bomb will go off and I'll normally like I won't hear it. I would sleep right through it.
Don't
I get
Mark
this.
All your secrets.
I know. Blah. Anyway, I will get this uneasy feeling about a day or two before an investigation. Sometimes I'll start hearing things, whether it's a male or a female. I'm not exactly what it is. I hear the voice. I can't make out the voices exactly what they're saying, but it's like an uneasiness and it's like a kind of like a heavy pressure before the actual investigation. So moving forward, the night of the investigation, we all go to some kind of a diner restaurant. That's kind of like our pregame ritual. We have a few laughs. We try to get everyone into a good mood, and we finally come into the location where we're supposed to ghost hunt. What do we bring with us, mechanically wise, to actually do a ghost hunt?
Everybody's got their favorite piece of equipment, but for the most part, we should all have a recording device. And those are so reasonably priced, and they're so good these days, these digital recorders, and an infrared camera, infrared video camera. Those have gotten down way down in price also, and they're pretty awesome. I also have an extra infrared light, and if we're in a big enough place and I can plug it in, that helps. But one of my cameras has enough infrared lights on it that I don't need the extra infrared light.
Very cool. Charlie, what else do you bring? Anything else?
Well, you know, you've got
quite a bit.
I don't bring that much. It looks like a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I bring my video camera.
Okay.
Bring the IR lights. You know, everybody's bringing an EMF detector now.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Handheld recorder, just in case. But you know, basically stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah, it's nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, there were a couple of times when, you know, it seemed like, oh, we're gonna have all the great equipment, only to find out you don't get anything with it.
Right.
And it seemed like the cheaper, the less quality the equipment, the better off you are.
Right.
So, you know, you just try to...
Sometimes you get stuff just with a compass.
Exactly. Mm. With a compass. A compass. That thing will move around like crazy sometimes, you know? Or a little rubber ball you can put on the floor and just...
Have mine in my bag.
Right? Yeah, you go.
but as long as you're able to document it, because the whole point of the investigation is to be able to document it. Because we can all say whatever happened, but if somebody else can't see it, then it's...
We forgot to put our EMF out tonight. We always do that when we do this show.
Okay.
Okay, you got one?
Virgil, you and I usually venture out into the woods when we get the chance. Is there anything else you and I usually bring?
I always have my digital camera with me.
Okay. I usually have about two or three different kinds of flashlights, whether we're... pitch black in a house without any power or walking through the woods.
I always have a headlamp, but I like the red lights because it doesn't ruin your night vision.
Yes, right. Headlamp. That's my favorite. Headlamp, yeah.
Yep.
I usually have a couple lights in case one goes out. Also, sometimes I'll bring my dowsing rods or a pendulum or something.
Yep. Dowsing rods and pendulum. The old school.
If it's that kind of situation.
Correct. So, and I have not brought my pendulum in a while. I haven't really had the need. Was that you?
I hope so.
Yeah, she.
She said that? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the? See.
No, but you made it.
You moved something.
You made them. Did you just? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just so you got. You always got to double check now. We're in that zone already of ghost hunting.
You said you couldn't tell it while I popped.
Yeah.
We have evidence.
We're all super sensitive to little sounds.
So. Yeah. So I haven't used the pendulum. I have used it before at. One of the other ghost hunts, but it's not really necessary. Jackie, what else do you...
I always have my recorder.
Right.
And me. And I usually use the EMF too, because a lot of times if I'm getting told something and the recorder picks it up, but the EMF is going off at the same time, it's really good. You know, it's like three different validations.
And the other thing I use... And it's not always set in stone, but I use the app Ghost Radar.
Yeah, I use that too.
Yeah. Every once in a while, the trick with the Ghost Radar for me is that you have to leave it on for about 15 minutes, let it warm up. And then usually after that, it's usually pretty accurate. So,
But surprisingly so, because we don't really know why. And it's like one of those things. You know, I take mine on my walk every morning. I turn my Ghost Radar on.
Yep.
Or I go into... You know, I've been in airplanes and turned the ghost radar on, you know, and it's like you get surprisingly accurate things.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. We don't know why it works,
yeah.
But.
But it's eerie sometimes.
across there towards the river out there, I'm going to see a Bigfoot. And they've been said that they're in the Northeast, they're in Eastern Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
Port
said
Jervis.
They're in Port Jervis.
Yeah.
No, those are just people that are homeless.
Don't be rude, Charlie.
No, I'm trying not to be. No, but I never heard of them being in Port Jervis.
Yeah.
Really?
You're right.
Well, something else to
I
look
did,
forward
I just
to.
I heard that this last weekend.
Really?
From my Bigfoot expert.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Poor Jervis. Did he help him get there or
transport
him?
He's afraid of him.
Why would he be afraid of him? He wants to go out there and find the nest.
No, he does not want
their nest.
Well, wait.
That's
exactly.
Bigfoot, so.
Yeah, no, they're not going to hurt you. You
yeah,
could
I've
go
never.
Up there unless you pull his beard or something. I'd be pissed if you pulled mine, but you know. But I mean, right? He said
now
he was going to. He said he was going to. Go out there, and he was going to show me where he nests.
Now, he'll show you at the side of the road where he knows they are, and it's up to you to go into the woods.
Yeah.
Well, he showed me a picture, and he goes, I could take you right there. That's what he said.
Yeah, but he's not getting out of the
right
car.
There.
Yeah, that's right. He's not getting out of the car.
He won't even go out in the woods in the dark.
Really?
He's afraid of it, yeah.
Why?
Because he was traumatized by this whole experience.
If you read the book, like I read the book,
yes.
And I won't ask him anything about Bigfoot again, because I don't want to bother him. That's my impression from reading the book.
Well, he's getting people asking him all the time, and he said in spite of himself, he's becoming a local Bigfoot expert. And he says it's not what he wants to do
but
at all.
But if you respected that book and his story,
yeah.
You wouldn't. I'll never ask him to take me somewhere.
Right.
Because I know what it does to him. So.
What it does is.
The one thing we do not have are EVPs on Bigfoot.
Yeah.
However, we do have EVPs on different ghosts and spirits that we have been hunting. Ghost hunting lately, so
how about we listen
nice,
to them?
You know
nice segue.
Yes.
They do have recordings of Bigfoot. I'll find one while you're doing it.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
your
do
homework
that.
Assignment.
That would be cool.
Go
yeah.
for it. I knew
cool.
you'd come through.
It's called Samurai Chatter.
Ah, there we go.
So we actually just did an investigation on Saturday and got some pretty cool stuff, but Dana and Virgil were there. Paul couldn't make it, neither could Charlie. So you guys can talk about, you know, what you experienced.
Well, we were at,
because you guys worked together.
Yes,
first,
we,
right?
We were in this room, right? And we were in this room, and it was like it was so heavy in there, you couldn't hardly breathe. And I was in a lot of pain because something started. My hips started hurting so bad, and I finally had to get up and leave the room, and. When you went back into
glug.
when I think
the bottle with the straw.
You
yeah,
know,
how scary the story is.
It's only
yeah.
wine.
So, you know, I didn't see anything through the video camera. But you know, the EVP, I haven't listened to all of my EVPs because it was just this last weekend. But I thought what was interesting is you when you went into the room later, you got the same hip pain.
Yeah.
And to me, that was kind of a confirmation thing. And it was like maybe I was thinking about it. Maybe this entity or spirit was injured on that side of his body or her body. And that's what we were picking up on was that. And it's what made the room so heavy and the pain in the same that we both felt this pain, the same mm-hmm. part of our body. Because we sometimes we do that when we do readings, you know, in class times, you'll mm-hmm. pick up when somebody passed away, what they passed
right.
away from.
I didn't feel it until we were probably in at least an hour in.
Right.
And I don't remember who it was that reminded me that you had, it might have been Ron who reminded
yeah.
me that you had had the hip pain in the same side.
After we were in there about an hour.
Yeah. And we yeah. didn't, I believe that was before anything happened.
Right.
Physically.
Right.
Oh, because Virgil's the only one that's here that was there with me.
Did you actually experience anything while you were in that room?
With Jackie?
Well, in the beginning, in the room, it got very warm very quickly.
Oh, it got, yes, you could.
It went up about 7.5 degrees.
Right.
And like, well, we're in there 15 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Pretty fast, actually.
I didn't. All the pains I came in with, I came out with. So I didn't get anything new, as far as that goes.
Did you guys bring the spirit back with you? Because that EMF detector is going crazy.
I don't know.
It's been getting nailed.
Is
there something back there? That's
yeah. No.
Standing behind you?
Mm-hmm.
Great. I think we'll do a protection prayer before we leave tonight.
Yeah, we may have to. We do have our first caller. She's not really a first caller of sorts. She's always here. Everyone say hi to Cindy.
Cindy.
Hey.
Hi, Cindy.
How are you?
Hi, Cindy.
Oh, we're
hi,
good
Dana.
Now.
Hi, Cindy.
How
hi,
are
Cindy.
You?
Good.
Hi, Jackie.
Hello.
Cindy, could you hear us all this time or no?
No, I didn't. And when I was calling, couldn't hear the show.
Okay.
And the line would go dead.
Okay.
Oh,
because it gets recorded, so the whole thing will be out there, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just in case.
Okay. Two things. First thing, I'm a grandma.
Congratulations.
She is. She just became one.
Just
very
became
good.
One last Thursday.
Wow.
Congratulations.
So
and
good.
The second thing, I know you were talking about the ghost hunting and everything, and that's like kind of where I lost you. But you were explaining all the instruments and everything you use. But what do you need to become a ghost hunter?
How do you become a ghost hunter?
A lot of free time.
Yeah. What is a prerequisite to doing it?
Sure. What's a prerequisite to be a ghost hunter?
Well, everybody's different. Depends what, yeah.
Certification.
Depends what group you're going into. I mean, first thing is to be interested in paranormal. Some people want to be a ghost hunter, but they're so afraid that that won't work at all.
You'll
be, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're gonna be taking a lot home with you if you're afraid. But getting good training, learning how to use the equipment, learning about the different spirits and, you know, how to work with them and all of that stuff. We provide training for anybody who comes in. Like, every single person in our group has had paranormal training, you know, so.
One of the most important things, though, is learning the parameters of the places where you're going and how to respect the properties of the people that your homes you're going into or the buildings you're going into or the properties. And to, you know, to make sure that you don't disturb anything in the home because you're there as a guest to try to help these people. So, and also we learn how to do research, try to research mm-hmm. some of the backgrounds of the property itself. And
our boundaries.
At boundaries. And not always.
Protection.
Oh, yeah.
So much. There's so much. The difference between outdoor investigations and indoor.
Right.
A lot of stuff.
And, you know, and the things can get in your way. I mean, just natural things that you have to be aware of, pipe plumbing that you have to be aware of that will affect your equipment,
photography,
the way everything works, and how to debunk your own pictures and your own recordings. So you say,
and not taint your evidence.
Not taint your evidence. Yes. It's you know. I think
a lot of people think they can just come in off the street because they're interested and go ghost hunting.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to do that.
Well, a lot of people do, and they freak themselves out, you know.
But they don't realize they can go home with spirit attachments,
yeah,
and that's the problem.
Yeah. And, right, learning to protect yourself is probably one of the big ones, the big mm-hmm. things here. And, yeah. And it's always good to have a friend when you go ghost hunting. In fact, it's a prerequisite because you never know what can happen. You don't really want to go by yourself.
That's true.
Okay.
You could fall in an open grave
and have someone like Mark jump on top of you.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, that's a scary thought. That is such a scary
thought.
Yeah,
is that why you're recommending company games?
Yeah, that's because of my experience.
She's afraid of Mark.
It's a couple weeks away. She's waiting.
Do you blame her?
No.
Cindy, are you going to be taking the ghost hunting classes anytime soon?
I'm going to take them, and I'm also going on the ghost hunt.
Very cool.
Excellent.
But I want to develop a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I want this. I love our public ghost hunt each year at the cemetery. It's a fabulous cemetery, and it's for those who are interested. We give sort of a mini ghost class here before you go out, and it's like you can work, you know, walk around with one of us, and to help you, you know, to what to look for, and also you can, you know, types off on your own cemetery. Don't walk with somebody so you don't get lost because it's a big cemetery.
My love doll fall in one of the graves.
Yeah. No. Well.
Mark will save you.
Yeah.
I'd rather fall in the grave.
I know, but Mark would save you nonetheless.
Is that what you call saving?
Like I said, yep.
Not necessarily what we call saving.
Let me die.
The other thing too, like what Cindy was asking about, what to learn when you're ghost hunting, is Cindy is one of the people who, like, she's interested in the psychic development, and so for anybody like within our group, we teach how to, you know, how to use a little bit of that and incorporate that into the investigation, so you're able to get more evidence or communicate with the spirits a little more and know where their energy is and things like that. So, you know, some groups do that, some groups don't.
Oh, and also it's the timing to when you're asking questions. You know, it's like you fill up your recorder for your own chat, or you're not going to edit. But if you quietly ask a simple question, you've got to give it time to answer back. You've got to be able to hear.
How much time back, roughly?
Oh, 20, 30 seconds?
Give or take.
Yeah. And not complicated questions, you know. You could ask, what's your name? You could ask, are you from here? You know, fairly simple things. Because it is a lot of energy for them to respond back to you.
Mm-hmm. But even just feeling them, you know, some people, they just learn how to sit there and, okay, I can feel, you know, it on my left side, or, you know, I sometimes, like, staring in the dark and you can almost see a shadow, which all of us have done that, where we can actually see it moving or an energy of some sort, you know, in the air. But even people aren't ghost hunting, if they really get into that place where they can sit and they're okay with sitting in the dark, because sometimes when we don't, there are a lot of times we tell everybody to turn off their camera lights and stuff, and we sit in the pitch, and sometimes you can't even see the person sitting next to you. The energy is so heavy.
We've done that, and you can see an energy light in the room when you can't even see your hand in front of your face, but you can see something that's floating up in the corner or something. I remember that one, and it was like, that was freaky.
One of the things we also teach.
One more question.
Sure.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Okay, this question is for Rodney.
Yes.
I want to ask him, what happened with the ghost last weekend?
Which one?
All of them.
In the room.
There was
in the room when you were in the room.
There was a lot. Well, you kind of pointed it out. This one in particular. The room wasn't exactly it was a little heavy at first, but not too bad. And then as time went on and got a little later, when the lights started to get a little dimmer, it got really crowded in there. And there's one particular that was in very good intentions. And when I realized it was there, and as it got closer, it started to, it had a heavy impact on me. You.
Well, he actually felt like, which nobody's ever felt, like exactly what I feel in that moment.
I don't know how to describe it.
Go ahead.
I don't know. What were you going to say?
That you felt exactly what I feel when moment of when I'm trying to not let them channel.
Yeah. When I noticed, a lot of that also was when they were started to try to channel. You start to get an overwhelming sensation of not anxiety, a heavy sensation in the chest, and my heart rate skyrocketed. And from that point on, everything you felt, I was immediately feeling. It was like watching a battle. It was experiencing a battle. It was really, really interesting, you know, because I'm much more sensitive to energy at this in that situation. And before I really saw or heard anything, that's it just it encapsulates you. It doesn't just really I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, one of the things he said, which I don't realize, is he's like, wow, you're really strong. Like, I guess.
Over the phone and dead again. Nothing.
I just checked if the phone went dead.